For those who do, take the voice and use it as a prayer guide. Today we are on June 28th. I actually thought it was earlier in the week because I took a few days off this week and lost a few days in the process. So it is actually the 28th. Remind everybody. And today would be Robert's family. So he's in it right now. So you can pray for Robert. And if you just pray through this, and I know people appreciate you when you pray through the voice. And each day of the week, a family is assigned. If you haven't seen that family in a long time, then you can pray to get to see that family. And if you don't know what's going on, it's a simple way to get a FaceTime chat going, or Facebook, that was called Facebook, or email, or Twitter, I guess I'm saying right now, Twitter, or some other kind of communicative device, just to find out. We also have our prayer cover, and each of those that covers updated prayers that are more specific that have been requested. There are two ways to request, well, actually three if you want to talk to me personally, but it's best to write it down because this old man, he can't do, he doesn't remember anything anyway. So, thank you. But there's a little prayer box in back that you just write your prayer. If it's personal, you can put a C or an E, C for congregation, E for just elders. Place that inside on my table, in my office, or on my desk. We also keep up to date with our missionaries. We are not financially supporting them, but we are definitely supporting them in prayer. And we're also hoping that we could do sometime in the future before they all retire to support them as well. The newest voice also has on here, we've redesigned it in the last couple months, where we have the greeter, nursery team, children's church, and counting teams on here as well to help remind you. And we've also got our other team people on here. Kind of cool. Great design. Lori does a good job putting this together with the little nuances of the shading. Pretty exciting. And also has our financial report as well for as far as we can in June, since we have one more Sunday to do that. And we do post the financial reports, and they are on the little cubicle. What's that called out there? Cubicle info bar. There it is. Thank you. The info bar. Yes. My sister, by the way, made those little info things. Kind of cool. A little thing there. So thank you for enjoying those as well. She was blessed to be able to do that. And that as well. Cool. And thank you, Lyle, for getting my new battery. I am excited. There have been days I've been able to preach, you know, with the handheld device. Yeah. It's been a long time, but I can do it. I can even wire up if I need to. Yeah. This morning we're going to talk about being organized. So tell somebody, are you organized? Oh, ask them, excuse me. Ask, are you organized? Yes, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is being organized. And perhaps you guys know, it's at Rhett and Link. Yes. Rhett and Link, there, I guess there's some famous YouTubers. They have a little vignette that I'd like to share with you. And so hopefully you'll enjoy it as much as I did. And I actually laughed at this because it looks really familiar to me. Yes. and many of you know I'm in recovery now. I'm doing much better. Although my closet is still organized, white hangers with white shirts, dark green for the long sleeve, light green for the short sleeve, and then they're in color sequence going from darker to lighter, and they have reds and blacks and grays in the middle, so as it goes between white and black, I just do it naturally. It's not work. it's just how I think. It's just the way it is, you know? But we want to understand that there are some people who struggle with this, and I understand that. As a matter of fact, if you do Google askew, you will notice what's wrong. The page is actually askew. it is also difficult because in this video, if you look at the comments, they apologize for anybody who really has OCD. They weren't making fun of us. I mean them. They were just trying to point out some humor, and we have to laugh at it. We really do, because if we don't laugh, we will cry literally. Because that blind is crazy, driving me crazy.
Mini blind and the toilet paper. Those are not OCD.
Yes. No, it's common sense. And if you go back in the original patent for the toilet paper roll, it shows it's supposed to roll over the top. Okay, the original patent. And if you use force vectors in physics, it shows that they use less toilet paper over the top and it's easier pull than underneath. However, I did amend this as a young adult, and I rephrase, as a young parent. Yes. And what?
There's a problem with that.
What's that?
If you have a cat.
That's what I was just going to say. I was just going to say it exactly. That's when I amended it with young, as a young parent or kids or cats. If you have a cat that does that, you reverse it, and the children do that as well. Okay, and if they go to the second roll, then you haven't learned yet. So, Yeah, so it took me two. I understand that. I confess. It was really hard putting it back. You know, use a little drill, you know, try to zip it back. It just didn't work. You know, and so then that's when it was really serious. But Gail's correct, the cat's issue. So there is an amendment to this if you have cats. But the solution is don't have cats, and you're fine. And once the kids are, and the kids do grow up. Exactly. So we know this is, we've got this here now. So, and as you look at life and you think, and as you look at babies growing up or just children in general, you want them to be perfect out of the womb. And they got to be organized. Their poop has to be just so; it's not messy all over their legs. No, it's right in the right place in the diaper. You know, it just got to be that way, right? And I was thinking, look at all the movies we really enjoy, like Bad News Bears or Mighty Ducks, those other kind of movies that you take. What's the one? My Fair Lady. You know, the classic. We take somebody who's a rough shapen object, if you will. What's Aladdin's the same way? You know, this really and what? Diamond in the Rough, exactly. Diamond in the Rough. And somehow through the rest of an hour and a half movie, they're perfect. They're better. And we know it doesn't take 18 years to make a child perfect. It's about 60 or 70 from what I'm reading. But the idea here is that we want something perfect right away, and we have to abandon that. So there's the extreme response to not be organized at all, to not discipline, to not do just that's an extreme response. Or the other extreme response, as we saw in the video. Everything's got to be organized, and you got to get organized, or you just can't be settled. Now, earlier when we were playing this in rehearsal deal, the voices were not in sync. And I was going to go with that. That would have been fun.
Oh.
Yeah, you've ever had that? You know, before the Lord was kind to you guys and allowed it to be in sync. But I want us to realize that the plumber has his parts already. The chef has her ingredients and the surgeon has her implements and applications and appliances. They are getting organized before they start, and it's very important. And the conductor stands up in front of everybody and holds the baton up. But I've watched Kurt Gustafson over the years. He will stand there with his arms crossed, waiting. And he knows somebody's either not looking at him, or they're not ready, or they're moving their sheet music, or they're not giving him what?
Eye contact.
You need eye contact from everyone in the orchestra before he raises his hand. Because if he does this, and not everybody's looking, they're going to be off. It's just that simple. And I've heard people say, oh, you don't need a conductor. Guess what? You do. You need a conductor. You need someone to keep rhythm and they point out the different sections. I'm a closet conductor myself. I like my shadow orchestras, probably one of the best. But they play as good as I play. So, but anyway, joking. But the idea here is that they're waiting and they're waiting and our conductor's waiting. If everybody agreed, I've been once told you don't need a leader. But in a football huddle, you have the quarterback, he gives the play, and you're hoping everybody agrees. What does the quarterback do? He calls the play. And then he calls when the play is played. And then like our wonderful gentleman, Mr. Payton, you know, he gets up to the line if that play didn't look good. And a lot of times you're going formation left or whatever their fancy plays are. I'll call it at the line 5-4 stutter. Okay, and then they get up there. You already break and they get up 5-4 stutter. Hut, 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 hut. That's kind of a stutter call. And you get up there. He'll call Omaha or whatever he does, you know. But he's got the Dallas Cowboys started that way back when. But the idea is that he's still got to tell you when to do it. There's still got to be some organization. Even though everybody agrees, you still need a leader. Okay? And you can see this in life, and it's the same thing true in your spiritual journey. When you're pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, you start here with a passion for the pursuit. If you don't have a passion for the pursuit, then you check, do you love Jesus or not? That's really simple. If you love him, then you say, why is my passion dull? What happened in my life? Is there some burden I'm carrying, some grudge I'm carrying? And then you're told to wait here. Where's here? Here. Wherever here is here. Okay? That's where you wait, and you wait for patience in the pursuit because it doesn't go as fast as you'd like it to go. The timing is oftentimes from what you want it to be. And this morning we're going to talk about getting organized. We've got to get organized. Our big idea is in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first order of business for us is to get organized. Say that, get organized.
Get organized.
Okay, now, some of us have to back off from organization. It's called micromanagement. Others of you have to just get organized. Okay, so we've got this balance here in that, and there are three elements I want to look at from Acts chapter 1. If you haven't found Acts chapter 1 yet, you need to find Acts chapter 1. There are three elements in this chapter that I see, and it's fascinating that they are very simple. In this waiting process, as the apostles are waiting, and they're among 120 basically, they're waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit, They didn't quite understand how it worked. They didn't know it was going to be coming on a holy day, but they were obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 12 tells us that then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room that they'd been staying in. Those present were, here's the 12, actually the 11, Peter and John and James and Andrew. They're grouped together. They were kind of the inner circle minus Andrew. Then Philip and Thomas, they probably palled around together. Bartholomew and Matthew, they probably palled around together. James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not Iscariot, the son of James. They probably palled around together. And some suggest from other orders that Judas, the betrayer, actually palled around with Simon the Zealot. That's why a lot of people believe he was a zealot, and that's why he sold Jesus up for the bit play. But you notice what they're gathered doing? Let's read on, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the last mention of Jesus' mother. And notice now his brothers are no longer cynics, but they are what? They're believers now. They turned. Something happened, and I'm suggesting to you that it was the resurrection that changed their lives. They now see that Jesus is the Messiah, and here they join their mother in this group of 120 or so. And it's interesting, this is the last mention of Mary here. I find that fascinating, but she is mentioned, and we should honor her and her faith for that. But you notice what they're gathered for. What are they doing? They're praying. They're gathered in corporate prayer. That seems so simple. We've tried several times on Wednesday nights. I've been moving toward that on Sunday mornings, but a lot of you are not ambulatory enough to move. But we can do that. We can do it on Sunday mornings. We can have group prayer at any time. And the verse that is often used is out of context. It's about church discipline. Where two or three are gathered in my name, so too am I there. That's a church discipline verse, because your prayer, James says, a prayer of a righteous man's effective. So one person can be effective. But you know, there's power in corporate prayer. There really is. And I find it's very fascinating that the corporate prayer comes in various forms. This morning I led you in what's called concert prayer. Have you anybody been to a concert of prayer? Anybody? You've been here, because I've led several, actually. Our solemn assembly is a concert of prayer. Those are very organized and very structured. The leader gets up and says, now pray about this. If you've ever been to the National Day of Prayer, that's called a concert of prayer. We start out by praying for the national officials, then the state officials, and then the local officials. This year I had the honor of being in the Mesa County Commissioners Group, and we prayed together. And that was very honoring to do that. But then it's led by the leader. They say, okay, pray about this. So I had you pray first for this morning. Person on your right. So I directed the prayer. So in a concert of prayer, the conductor conducts any structures, any points. Pray for the person on your right. Then pray for the person on your left. And if you're left out, then that's the way it goes, I guess. So you have this concert of prayer. But in other group prayer, gathered prayer, a corporate prayer, there's what's called the list. And many of you are very familiar with that. Person on your right, praise the list. Next person, praise the list. Next person, praise the list. And they go around the circle and they pray the list. Is that wrong? No, there's nothing wrong with that at all. That's okay. A lot of people don't like that because they feel the Spirit's quenched. You know what? The Spirit can be quenched with any kind of prayer. It's your attitude of your heart, you know. So you go through it that way. So then you have the corporate prayer is concert prayer, or you have the list prayer. And the last one, which I favor, though I've done the other ones, is conversational prayer. Conversational prayer is very close to concert of prayer, where this time it's not as structured. There's not a formal leader. But somehow we just are praying. Let's say we're praying for John this morning. And so then we would all pray for John. Or we've done this when we pray for fathers. That's more conversational prayer. And what I like about conversational prayers, it's fun to hear the different perspectives. And a list mentality goes, oh, that's already been prayed for, so I don't have to pray for that. Guess what? You can still pray for that. It's okay. Or you have a different perspective on what's already been prayed for. Make sense? So that's why I like the conversational prayer, because it opens it up to a variety of points of view for one person. Whereas the list prayer, done. But you know, there's times you have to do the list prayer. And in old-fashioned prayer services, particularly on Wednesday nights that I used to attend years ago, we would share prayer requests for 45 minutes, and oh, the time got away from us. And you pray for, well, why don't you just close us in prayer? That's all we do then. So what I've done now is, we haven't done it in years now. We tried the last couple of years over the years. But we would just sit down. We'd get in there. Let's start praying. What would we pray for? The Lord will tell you. Just listen. And I'll guarantee you, you know five prayer requests already. And you, many of you got the one from Britt. How many of you got it off of our Facebook? Okay, a few of you got Facebook. How many of you got it through the prayer chain, the umbrella? Okay, yeah, so for even how many of you knew that she had fallen off a ladder and broke her teeth 12? Okay, yeah, just this week.
Thursday
or Friday? Because she had the procedure. She had the procedure the next day, so it was Friday. And she's in room 103 as of yesterday at Community Hospital. Okay? But that's what we do. We send out the prayer requests as best we can. That's what the prayer umbrella is all about. If you want to be on the prayer umbrella, that's what that's up there. Just, we don't have the cards in this room, but we'll put them out real recent here. You can sign up again, or just shoot me an email and I'll shoot you back. I will send you an email back. Got to watch our PC words here. But those are prayer. And I believe concert prayer is important. I believe corporate prayer is important. I believe list prayer is important. I just prayer is important. When we have that wall back there, I pray that's not a token, okay, that we are a praying church. My prayer for almost all of you every morning, all of you present, I can guarantee it today, I pray that we put on the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we put on the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of preparation, the gospel of peace, and we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the breath of prayer, which is the prayer warriors. And I pray for that every morning. And then I also pray that shield of faith, new shield of faith, that I quench the fiery darts. So that's what we do here. My heart's desire is that you guys are just as much a prayer warriors as even a prophet is, who's gifted to be a prayer warrior. That you're breathing in and out prayer. And prayer is important. And did you notice in this prayer, were they praying? Well, I think Peter tells us accidentally what they were praying in the second element, because they were searching the Scriptures. What does the Lord want us to do in the meantime? And as they were praying, they were searching the Scriptures. Did you pick that up in verse 15? In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. Again, about 120. That's why I said that earlier. Verse 16. And the brother, he says, brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. So as they were praying, he was led to say this. Verse 18, with the reward he got from the wicked, Judas bought a field. How did he do that? We don't know. The Scripture says that he threw it back in the temple. It's possible they gathered it up and then Jews said, give it to me, and they said, no, we'll buy something. We don't know all the particulars how that happened. But verse says in 18, therefore, with the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Some suggest that he was hanging there for so long after he hung himself that the rope broke and he fell down. And then his body was so rotted it split open. Now, there's another theory that not people know. The original hanging wasn't around the neck. It was a spear up and shoved under your rib cage. Okay? And they would shove a spear up under your rib cage and put it in the ground and you'd hang there. So it's also a possibility that he fell on his sword and hung there, and that's how his intestines and bowels spilled out. Okay? Either picture, you can pick either one. There's not enough historical evidence for either view, but that's what they are. But verse 19, everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. They heard about the Judas betrayal and how he died. So they called the field in their language Akeldama. That is the field of blood. Dama's blood, Akel field. Verse 20, for Peter said, it is written in the book of Psalms. They might have been praying the Psalms. May his place be deserted and let there be no one to dwell in it. He bought this field. Perhaps he was originally planning to buy it with his becoming rich and famous. And when Jesus becomes the Messiah, he'll have this piece of land, some suggest. That's what he was planning on. But they decided to turn it into a potter's field and a grave site for those who can't afford to be buried. And so let no one dwell in it. You know, no one alive, obviously. They're all dead. And in the rest of the verse, may another take his place. This is also from Psalm 109, verse 8. And they use this verse then to decide on the direction the church should take during this waiting period. And again, I find it fascinating. During the waiting period, they're praying, searching the Scriptures, and they are getting organized. And so then they fill in the gaps of the leadership. In our pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do the same. Verse 21, therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us from the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism, all the way back to that early part, to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, ascension. For one of these must become a witness with us as his resurrection. And you know what the word witness means, right? What's the Greek word? Starts with an M. You all know it. I know you know it. Martyr. You knew that. Yeah, and somewhere, and I've been trying to research this a couple weeks now, somewhere between this time period and 120 AD, AD 120, it became specified strictly to people who died for Jesus. Justin Martyr being an example. Okay? But the word martyr was used for anybody who witnessed for Jesus. That's what the word means. It means step up and testify. We were talking about this in Sunday school, how you've got something to testify. The Lord's done something in your life. Say no more, say no less, but say it. Okay? Verse 23. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everything, everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Verse 26 then says, they casted lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11, and thereafter they're called the 12. Even though in chapter 2 it says he gets up with the 11 in verse 14, the Greek means among the 11, so he's surrounded by the 11 apostles. But chapter 6 it says the 12. Matthias, and this is a new one for me because I always believe Paul was the 12th. Matthias is the 12th from my point of view now. I changed during this week studying this. I don't like that change because I like Paul better because we heard about Paul. But the truth is we never hear about Matthias. And that's one of the arguments I used to use. Well, they never heard about Matthias ever again. Well, guess what? Did you hear about anybody else? How about Judas, the son of James Alphaeus? Where'd he go? No one knows, you know. They got traditions, but they don't know. We know that Thomas went to where? India. You knew that. I heard that right in your thought there. Thomas went to India. Okay, Andrew went to the Caucasus Mountains. So they went all over the place, okay? Really some cool stuff. And where Matthias, we think he went to Ethiopia. We're not sure. And he died there a martyr. But they're not sure. But you know what? Apparently this is from the Lord. And one of the commentators actually swung me on this when he said, Luke didn't say anything against this. And Luke would correct me. Remember, he made a careful study to make sure this was done in the right order. And he didn't say, whoop, they made a mistake here. And that actually swung me because the Word of God says it real clearly. They were listening. They gathered in prayer. They sought the Scriptures. And then the Lord chose the lot, and it fell upon Matthew. What did the lot look like? It could have been a pair of dice, which I doubt, but some suggest that. There's some sticks that you could have put inside a cup and shook the cup, and one falls out. It could not be the Urim and Thummim because they didn't have it back then. But whatever they did, the Lord's in control of the lot. But he's not in control of the lottery. That's a half joke. Okay, moving along. But the idea is, though, is that the Lord's in control. And it's fun when I pick teams for sports or I'm dividing up people for a reading assignment or something. It's fun who the Lord pairs off. And I'm just so blessed at how that works because he's in control of that, isn't he? And I would say, yes, he is. So, and Matthias, his name means gift of Yahweh, bless his name. And so that's all that there. So, the three elements were, one, gather in corporate prayer, two, search the Scriptures, and three, fill in the gaps. Fill in the gaps. In this prayer, it's a real simple prayer again. Heavenly Father, I yield to the Lord Jesus Christ to empower me by his Holy Spirit to organize my life through praying, reading the Scriptures, and filling in the gaps. In Jesus' name, amen. Real simple prayer. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I yield to the Lord Jesus Christ to empower me by his Holy Spirit to organize my life through praying, reading the Scriptures, and filling in the gaps. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you guys some hope, and you can underscore that letter, the word can there. You can get organized. Tell someone that. Tell someone else that. Yeah, you can get organized. Okay? Are either our people, I apologize to you, but you give excuses all over the place. And you know what? You can get organized. And I'm going to tell you, you have Scriptures for this, okay? And you're not calling, you can get mad at me all you want, okay? Your anger's with the Lord, and you want to get started there to begin with. The first one, everyone knows perhaps, but I want you to go to 2 Timothy to see this, okay? Chapter 1, verse 7, just happen to have it marked. because it's part of our staff devotion. So that's what Mark. Paul's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and Timothy's kind of shucking and jiving, and he's kind of getting shy. And verse 6 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not," read that with me now, "for God did not give us a spirit of timidity." That's the word timidity or fear. But what did He give us? He gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline or sound mind. And it's really fascinating. It's in that order. Us mercy people, it should have been love first. No, power. You have the ability to do this because you have the Holy Spirit in you. So no more excuses. Erase that whiteboard. Erase the tapes in the past. No more excuses. Oh, it's because of this or because of that. It's because my parents raised me wrong. It's because it's too hard. Or what? And we were just talking about this at Men's Bible Study Friday morning house. There are some people who do more work avoiding the task than if they would have just done the task. Just do the task. You know, and be faithful, right? And we'll talk about that in a moment here, okay? But the idea here is that the Lord's given you the spirit of power. The Holy Spirit's the ability to, and of love. That's how to do it, in gentleness, kindness, meekness, okay? And then of self-discipline or self-control. That's from the Spirit. And Galatians 5:23 says one of the fruit of the Spirit is the last one? Self-control, which is Spirit-crucified self-control. So no more excuses. You can get organized. Now, what's really cool is you may not be as organized as some of us. And that's okay. You don't have to be. Right? And it took me years to learn this, but I've learned as long as they're organized. Right? Now, just recently, our homeowner association had a bunch of trees I was pruning. And they've been pruned since they were planted, apparently. And they're all over the place. Now, I used to have a job like that. It was one of my jobs back a long time ago. And they're like this. They're crossing each other, and they're just stuff that you shouldn't have. And so I had the joy of organizing the tree. It was a pleasure. And it was fun because these are trees I could do better. Globe willows are really hard because they snap. You know, I did globe willows, and you cut them a certain way, and you swing them, that you drop them where you want them. Globe willows snap, and they just fall. And just not good. But these were ash trees, and so you could just cut them a little bit, and get them to swing out of the way of any danger, and drop them right there. Yes, it was so exciting. Doesn't that look clean? And my neighbor, he's just odd at this. He's going, "Wow, I thought we'd only get two or three. We got 6 of the 8 trees done." Because I was ripping them, you know. And I was using this old-fashioned tube saw. You know, I got the muscle building. And he had his chainsaw. I'm going, "We got to plug it in." You know, I cut more electrical cords than I care to tell you. I got them all around my leg. I'm like this trying to cut. It's like that. Yeah, don't do my back any good. So, but it was just fun doing because I love organizing trees. And guess what? The tree never once complained. Right? It was amazing. It thanked me probably later. Thanks for organizing me. Not. Exactly. You know. Yeah, but my point is this, is that we can get organized because that's what the Lord designed us to do. He put Adam in the garden to what? To take care of it, to organize it, to name things. Yeah, to organize it. Isn't that cool? And it's just fun. Yeah. Now, you may not get that good at it, okay? That's okay. But you can improve where you're at. Actually, the first pastor I was ever on, Dr. Sanukian, once said, when I became a Christian, I became a better Don. I'm not a perfect Don. Sounds Italian, I know. He was Armenian. but he became a better one. And he says, when anybody becomes a Christian, they become a better person than they would have been. Not the most perfect of people. That makes sense? So you will be organized, but not to the level of somebody who's super organized, but you'll be way more organized than you ever have been, allowing Lord Jesus Christ to grow in you and transform you and change you, because it's a fruit of the Spirit, and it's from the Holy Spirit, the power to do this. Amen? Amen. Okay, good. Okay, the second, some of you, and I'm going to be frank here, I love you, some of you have a broken wanter. Okay? It's not that you can't get organized. You what? Don't want to get organized. Okay? Now, I'm not going to be cruel and have you tell somebody, "You don't want to get organized." But the idea is, the truth is, some people don't want to get organized. They like the confusion. And beyond spiritual warfare, it could be just part of their flesh. They're just comfortable in chaos. Okay? And that's a broken wanter. Make sense? Now, what scripture do I have? I got tons of them, but we'll just go to Matthew 26, and you know this one. Matthew 26, the way to get a broken wanter fixed is to get broken. And what I say the solution to you is Matthew 26, verse 36 following. You need a Gethsemane experience. Tell me that. Right, and I'm going to say to you, you need a Gethsemane experience where your water is broken. Okay? Verse 36. Then when Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Those are some deep, intense words. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Luke tells us he was sweating as if it were drops of blood. Stay here and keep watch with me. So going a little farther in, verse 39 tells me, he fell with his face to the ground. He's totally prostrate and he prayed, Abba, Father, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you not keep watch with me but for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh or the body is weak. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, people. Verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, Abba, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And when he returned, he found them sleeping yet again in a heavy sleep. Friends, this is a hard reality. And sometimes it's moments and sometimes it's decades. But you come to a place in your life where you say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And sometimes it's sweating as if it were drops of blood. And other times it's as if you just brushed something off your shoulder. You guys did that really good. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. And I've been there. I've got broken waters in other areas of my life. And some people's forgiveness. I don't want to forgive is the real issue. Not I can't forgive. No one can forgive. It's a divine act anyway. But do you want to forgive is the question. Or I don't want to get better. And that's why Jesus went up to the guy at the pool. He says, do you want to get healed? The guy had a broken water. And he needed a Gethsemane experience. So you may need to enter into a Gethsemane experience so that the Lord Jesus Christ may be manifested in you by your acts. Jesus, point number three. Before you begin this walk with Jesus, this pursuit of Jesus, fill in the gaps of leadership in your life or in the areas around you through clear action. And I have some five or six elements here in this action. First element, assess the situation. Peter, James, and John, Peter and the apostles assess the situation, says we're one guy short. They assessed the situation. They looked at it, okay? They developed the plan of action. We need to cast lots to pick somebody. They assessed what tools or resources that were needed, like the plumber or electrician. You hate walking back to your truck. Amen. Yeah. I worked in a condominium complex in Scottsdale, 418 acres of land, and no matter how many buckets I carried, one tool was still back in the center by my shop. I had to walk, and it literally took 10, 15 minutes just to walk there and back. You know, so I started using bicycle, dragging something. Wheels didn't always work. Dragging something behind me, you know. And then I asked for a golf cart. And of course, back then, that was not even a thing that they could think of. But the idea is, I understand that. But you got to look at it, assess your situation, take the tools and materials you need, then gather the necessary tools and resources. Early planning helps deal with last-minute unexpected things and helps you and the team much better. If you're not planned at all, the team's going to go, ah! But if you're planned, at least they know you've got an idea how to fill in the gaps. Fill in the gaps because you're prepared. Lastly, involve the team in the planning. I really try to do this. And I enjoy delegating. I really do. And my weakest part is I don't follow up as well as I used to. I'm doing better, actually. But that's the weakest part of me, following up. How's it going? But you'll do this up until the last minute, and then they'll say, oh, I can't do this. And then you got to jump in, because as the manager, you got to jump in and pick up the task, okay? Or sometimes you say, I'm going to let this one fall and pay the penalty, pay the cost, okay? And you got to determine if that's important for your family or your business or whatever. But involve the team in the planning, because that develops ownership. And lastly, just real simple, you ready? Implement the plan. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? But some people never get it off the chalkboard or the whiteboard. It's still up there. Looks pretty. Lots of circles and X's and, you know, great. But you got to get it off the board and into your life. You got to do that. And it's real simple. Proverbs 25:11 said, a word fitly spoken or an apt word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. So there's a timing to this. You got to have a good timing to it. True. And lastly, I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1. And this is kind of a fun thing. I've been meditating on the last couple of weeks, actually, and it was fascinating how the Lord used it for this morning. And many of you know this. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Some have it was void. Some have there was chaos. Some translations say that. But whatever you want to say, what's the Spirit doing? He's hovering over the waters, and what's He about to do? Organize it, fix it, organize it, because it's disorganized. So the first thing the Holy Spirit did when He started creating was organize. And you need to turn on your shop light first or your troubleshooting light first, right? So you can see. So what does the Lord do? Let there be lights. He turned the light on. We need to see what we're doing here. And He let the light, one light to rule the day and the other do. And He called them the different things there. You're right. Let's look at that carefully. Let there be light, and there was light. God saw that there was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. How is that possible? I don't know, because to me it's already separated. But God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening and morning the first day. Notice in the Jewish scheme of things, evening came first. Verse 6. And then the Lord said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from the water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the waters above. This is kind of that dome, that hydro dome there. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and morning and the second day. He's organizing everything. I can go on. You know the creation story. And by the by, I do believe this is literal. To me, God can do this. He can speak, and it is. Eons, yeah, He could do that too, but I prefer this one. It's just a lot easier. And I think He created things to look old. And there's some really cool science and physics behind that you talk about a graph that goes like this, but we won't talk about that today. But anyway, you get the idea. Okay? You get organized, and then you assess the situation, look at all these points, and then you implement your plan, because this is what the Spirit does. It's His job to do this. And people think that you can't plan ahead. Well, guess what? That's not true. They planned ahead. The Spirit can still work in our planning ahead. Last week, I was telling Gail this last week, I was planning a whole different Father's Day message, and I plan these out weeks and months in advance. And I'm getting to that week, and the Lord's going, I want you this, I want you this. I don't want to do that. I've already planned this. I don't talk that cadly to the Lord, but sometimes I do. And I just felt, I got to do Acts chapter 10, and the Father who did something right. And it changed. I had to do all the study. But you get what I'm saying, okay? The Lord can still do this even when you plan. Your body is structured, right? It has bones. Where are they? Inside. They're called endoskeleton. You know the big word for that. If I was exoskeleton, I'd have to molt every so often. I'm already molding here, but I have to let go of my exoskeleton, and I have to keep doing it. If I don't, I will die. Yeah, legalists are exoskeletons. They're trying to create the spiritual life on the outside. But the Scripture tells us in Colossians chapter 2, it has nothing to do with the inside. Okay? Can't do anything. But the endoskeleton's on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives a structure. And I have limitations. If I don't, it's called hyperextension, like it hurts. Okay? Yeah, I can hyperextend. It goes beyond its reach, but it's still flexible. Now, some people can do the splits, and many of us can't because we're flexible. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so, but we stretch to get more flexible. So, but you still have limitations. Does that make sense? It still have limitations. So there has to be order and structure. A little joke I like to tell, which isn't really too funny, but a glass of water without a glass is called a spill. You can pour all the water you want without a glass, and it'll still be a spill. It's a puddle if it gets more. Yeah. It's just a simple structure to hold something. A river without banks is called a flood. So there has to be structure. Okay, this is a both and thing, not either or. Okay, but how much structure so that there remains flexibility is the issue. So I want you to just close with this little clip here from a little chaos in the football huddle, and I'll explain. I do not recommend the movie, but this is a good point here. The quarterback's number 16. And there's sometimes when we as Christians are in the huddle and we're not organized and our quarterback gets punched out. Okay, pretty heavy. Yeah, it is. It's pretty heavy. Because we're arguing amongst ourselves, and we're just fighting. And if we just pray first in corporate prayer, gather to study the scriptures and fill in the gaps that are needed, then we can get along. They weren't doing that. They were arguing in the cuddle. And I've had this happen as a quarterback. Not as bad as that, to be sure. I had guys go, what do I do? And you got to tell them what their play is, you know. I was quarterback. But the understanding is that you need to have organization. You have to have it. It's just that simple. Otherwise, you have chaos in the huddle. And God forbid we punch out our Jesus. But I think that's what Revelation chapter 3 is all about, don't you think? Jesus is saying, behold, I stand at the door of the church. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Make sense? That's what I think the Lord's telling us today, that we need to get organized. Let's pray. Our holy and gracious Father, you've blessed us so much with all these tools at our disposal, all these Bibles and different translations in our language. And I pray, Father, you burn in our souls a passion, a desire to be hungry for your word, that we will not rise without reading your word or having a taste of it, be on the radio or some tape or CD or some podcast. Lord, that we just devour your word. Father, that you make us hungry to pray and to be in your presence, sometimes quiet and sometimes pouring out our heart and our anxiety and our Gethsemane experience. Oh, and Father, I pray that you guide us to the right people as we fill in the gaps of leadership, that you allow us the privilege and the honor of picking the right people, for you are in control as we corporately pray, as we seek your scriptures, as we seek the people who are qualified, who are faithful, who are available and teachable, Father. They are faithful to the task at hand. They're available to do the tasks, Father, and they're humble and teachable, that we might be truly people who are called according to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.